Recording in progress.
Is it visible, Chef?
Yes, yes, Brian, it is. Colleagues, this is the agenda for today. I've introduced a new item.
Okay, sir.
As so, who's that now? May I ask the members to mute? The meeting started. I've introduced a new item. It's the status of records review for the Defense Portfolio Committee. It's a presentation that is going to be done by the Auditor General of South Africa. They requested that I place this item on the agenda. I agreed, subject to the committee accepting this item as one of the items to be transacted today. But I agreed on condition that would just receive the briefing today and then request the department to come back on the day we'll appoint to present its response to this presentation. In other words, I'm not expecting the sector, I'm not expecting the minister to respond fully on the matter so that we give them time to process it and come back and present a written response so that we have it in as part of our records. So the rest of the items are known. I therefore present this agenda as amended. But before I do so, colleagues, let me welcome all of you. First, I've seen the Deputy Minister, DM, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and members of the committee. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DM. I know the SecDef is in the meeting. SecDef, good morning. SecDef and the team.
Good morning, Chair.
Yes. SecDef, I'm sure you have heard me on the item I'm introducing this morning.
Yes, I did hear, Chairperson.
Are you happy with that?
I am happy with that, Chairperson. Safe to say that on the status of records review, we can still deal with whatever questions may arise by writing them back to you. But if you would recall, Chairperson, on the 2nd of March, we then presented the action plan of the department on the outcomes of the audit that was done by AG for 21-22. So it was reacting to all those things that will reflect today in the presentation of AG on the status of records review for the department. Thank you, Chairperson, but we will still take the questions that will be asked and respond in writing back to you, sir.
No, it's fine. It's fine, but limitedly so. I wouldn't want us to get into a full discussion with you on the report. So that I will schedule time where we place it on the agenda and have a full discussion on it. So it will be just
no problem.
All right. So colleagues, those were matters discussed. I now present the agenda. But before that, I said I need to check if we do have the quorum. Brian, how are we doing?
Indeed, we do, Chair.
We do have the quorum. All right.
That's
right. Note apologies. I understand there's an apology from the minister. I don't know who's going to table that apology formally.
Chair, indeed, we do have an apology. Minister is attending cabinet at the moment. We also have an apology from Honorable Lekwase. She's also attending the Home Affairs hearings. We have an apology from General Wolomisa. Thank you, Chair.
So, colleagues, these are the three apologies, one from the minister who's at cabinet, and the two colleagues, General Wolomisa and Lekwase, who also have other engagements this morning. And so I hope these apologies are accepted. I trust.
Accepted, Chair.
Thank you so much. I now present the amended the program for today. Sorry, the agenda.
Morning, Chair. If I may, I just want to make sure about you. So that was on request of the Auditor General that you've added that one point.
Yes, correct, sir.
Okay. I will propose for the acceptance of the amended agenda. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And any seconder?
Mafanya seconds.
Mr. Mafanya second. Colleagues, thank you very much. Now, let me welcome the Office of the Auditor General. I have not looked at who is in the meeting from the Office of the Auditor General, but I guess I can see Mbali. Mbali will introduce the team. And then launch into the presentation. I don't know how much time you require, Mbali, but I'll grant how much time you need. Over to you, Mbali.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning to you, Chair, and honorable members of the committee. Also extending good morning to the Deputy Minister and the leadership of the Department of Defense. Chairperson, would like to take the first presentation on Project Chusano and then maybe take questions, but will be guided by you, Chair, and then move on to the status of records review. We think that in total we need about 45 minutes for both presentations. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, granted. I count from now, it's 10 past 10. Over to you.
Thank you so much, Chair. Perhaps let me just also indicate that I'm joined in this meeting by Mr. Solomon Giana. He's the engagement manager for the audit of the Department of Defense, so he'll be assisting me today. Mr. Lawrence Fanciri is not present today. He has other engagements, so it's just the two of us from the AGFA. Thanks, Chair. So I'd like to start then sharing the presentation on Chusano. Can I please just get a confirmation, Chair, that the presentation
yes, it's clearly
visible.
All right.
Thank you, Chair. So, as always, we start off with our mandate as HSA. We exist to strengthen this country's democracy by enabling oversight, accountability, and governance in the public sector through the audit work that we do. were then requested by the committee to present our findings on Project Tuzano. So before we get to the part where we talk about our findings so far, we also just want to give a short background on what Project Tuzano entails or where it emanates from. So in 2012, the Department of Defense then entered into a bilateral agreement with the government of Cuba for defense cooperation between the South African government and the government of Cuba. We also just want to highlight that in terms of that agreement, there's Article 1 of the bilateral agreement that talks to the purpose of the agreement being to establish the bilateral defense relationship between the two parties, and also highlighting that this agreement is subject to each party's domestic laws and international obligations, as well as the financial constraints in that regard. This agreement then gave rise to this project Tuzano in the Department of Defense. And we have seen then over the years that the department has entered into supplementary agreements in order to give effect to this bilateral agreement. And these supplementary agreements were signed by the department, between the Department of Defense, as well as the Cuban government state-owned entity called Tecnoimport. So the supplementary agreements are then detailed and given indication of the contracted amounts, as well as the nature of services that were procured through this state-owned entity of Cuba. So over the years then, starting in 2014, there were two main contracts that are used, and then there are various supplementary agreements that have been used to implement this project to Tuzano. So during 2019-20, we agreed with the department that the Auditor General will perform a value for money audit on Operation Tuzano because of the significant expenditure that was going into this particular project. So this was an agreement that we will do a value for money audit. However, in 2020, following then the outbreak of coronavirus and the fact that the SNDF members were then deployed as part of the COVID-19 response, we decided to postpone that particular value for money audit to 2020-21. Then in 2021, we then resumed with this process of auditing the one contract that talks to technical services. And the two main focus areas were the training of technicians in the organization of transport technique, as well as the repair and maintenance of transport technique assets. So we selected those two focus areas for the value for money audit. We then requested various information that we were going to need in order to perform that audit during the 2020-21 financial year. However, the information was not provided to us to be able to do the audit. We then issued the finding and we concluded on the limitation of scope in terms of this value for money audit. So we couldn't do any work last year on the value for money audit because the information was not provided by the department. Then in the current year that we are currently auditing, being 21-22, we have had then further engagements with the logistics unit to try and also clarify what information we are looking for. And there was agreement that information will be provided. At this stage of the audit, we have started some work. However, some of the key information is still outstanding at this point. So that audit, Chairperson and members, is still ongoing in terms of us assessing the value for money audit. We don't have any findings at this stage on the value for money. The only finding that was issued last year was a limitation of scope finding. Then if I move on to the findings that we've issued now in terms of the procurement process in relation to Project Tuzano. So we have confirmed that there are two main contracts that were entered into by the department to give effect to the bilateral agreement, as well as the number of supplementary agreements that are in place. And again, we want to point out what is contained in Article 1 of the bilateral agreement, being that any relationships between the two parties must be subject to the domestic laws of each party. So we confirmed then that the Department of Defense did not follow any procurement process, nor did they seek then any deviations prior to entering into this supplementary agreements with the Cuban entity Techno Import. We therefore concluded that since there was no procurement process and also there were no deviations in place, that the acquisition then of the services through Project Chusano were not in line with Section 217 of the Constitution that requires that any procurement of goods and services must be done in a manner that is fair, transparent, cost-effective, and equitable. We also then conclude that it's also not in line with Regulation 16A 6.4 of the PFMA, which talks to deviation, as well as the SCM instruction note of 1617. Therefore, our conclusion in terms of last year's audit was that the expenditure then incurred in terms of Project Chusano will result in irregular expenditure. So far, the expenditure incurred on Project Chusano at end of December 2021 amounts to 1.37 billion. We also then just gave an indication to the committee of some of the key expenditure that has been incurred on this contract over the years, just highlighting the biggest contributors to this 1.37 billion. You'll see then the other personnel expenditure is the highest. There's also some allowances, there's travel and subsistence. And we also know that the Hebron drugs were also procured through this agreement. And there's also the transport to transport the Cubans to and from Cuba. So that's just showing an indication of the type of expenditure incurred under Project Chusano. Then lastly, Chair, in terms of our recommendations that we made for the finding now around procurement process, was that management should then make sure that there are processes in place for when they want to deviate from the normal procurement process, and that those deviations must be justified, adequately documented and approved by the accounting officer, and where required also by National Treasury. And that management must then quantify all the Project Chusano related payments from the supplementary agreements and disclose this as irregular expenditure. And lastly, that the accounting officer must take effective and appropriate steps to deal with those who permit irregular expenditure as it is required in the PFMA and the federal regulations. Thank you, Chair. That will be our presentation on Chusano.
Thank you very much. Proceed to the next presentation, Ali.
Thank you, Chair. I can just share the presentation. Apologies, Chair, I'm just getting to the right presentation.
Okay, take your time.
Thank you. I can just get a confirmation that can see the presentation.
I can see it clearly, Mary.
Thank you. So this is our presentation now on the status of records review. And thank you, Chair, for allowing us to bring this presentation to the committee today, because we felt that if we wait, it might be too late for us to bring this insight to you, because the status of records is the tool that we use to assist the accounting officer in identifying the gaps in their preventative controls that may prevent them from getting favorable audit outcomes. So we have done the status of records reviews for Department of Defense, Department of Military Veterans, as well as Arms Corps. I will then quickly move to slide number three of our presentation, which just highlights our mandate as AGSA, as also and also the mandate of the portfolio committees. Our mandate emanates from Section 188 of the Constitution and is also guided by the Public Audit Act, in particular Section 22, as well as Section 5.1b, which talks to the amended powers. Then we also highlight the responsibilities or the mandate of the portfolio committee in terms of rule number 227, National Assembly Rule. Then in terms of today, our role as AGSA is to assist this committee in terms of assessing the performance of the entities, but also taking into consideration the committee's recommendations that are emanating from the budgetary review and recommendations report. Again, we just included this slide which talks to how we understand the role of oversight, what we expect and what should happen from oversight once we've also presented our findings or reports to the portfolio committee. So we expect and we've seen that the committee does obtain reports on the process of investigations into transgressions or irregularities, that there is follow-up by the committee on the commitments that are made by accounting officers on how they are going to deal with the shortcomings in the environment, and to determine if those then measures are addressing the shortcomings in the internal controls environment, and that the committee should also inquire about the capacity within the environment to deal with the issues raised, and that there is follow-up then on actions that are taken by the entities in terms of consequence management for the officials that are responsible for transgressions, and also to hold then executive authority accountable for failures in the controlled environment. When it comes to material irregularities, we expect that the committee will also use then our report to oversee and influence the progress made by public bodies with investigations, and for executive authorities to recover that where this has been identified, and that the committee will use then our report on irregularities for accountability and oversight purposes, insisting that there must be timely implementation of our recommendations. Honourable Chair and members, as I indicated, the objectives of this tool that we call the Systems of Records Review is to identify the key areas of concern that may derail progress in the preparation of financial statements, performance reports, and compliance with legislation. We then provide our assessment of the status of key focus areas that we review during this process, and we assess then the progress that is made in implementing the action plans, or we follow up on the commitments that were made in previous engagements. Yeah. Lastly, also from a continued chair, we also identify matters that add value and putting measures and action plans in place well in advance to mitigate the risk. So in terms of this review will then highlight the legends in terms of the color. So if we assess a focus area as green, it means that basics are in place, so there are no concerns identified. If it is a yellow, it means there are concerns identified that need to be addressed. If it's a red, it means that our concerns needs to be urgent intervention to prevent audit failure or unfavorable audit outcomes. We also show then the movement in terms of our assessment, whether there is improvement or it remains the same, or whether there is regression. I will start off with the status of records review for the DOD as it is the third quarter when we conducted this review. So you will note that the focus areas that are in the red, where we are saying intervention is required urgently. Oversight and monitoring, financial management, procurement and contract management, compliance, and IT management. The other three areas are highlighted as a yellow to say there are concerns also that we noted. On oversight and monitoring, there are just 3 points that you highlighted to the committee. We summarized them in the document that we shared with the accounting officer. We gave more details on each of those points. The first one talks to the fact that the department has not implemented adequate preventative controls and consistent measures to address the issue of some of the department's officials that are doing business with the state in contravention of the public service regulation. So this emanates from the findings that we issued in the prior year. The second point talks to the concerns from the audit committee where in their concerned that appropriate actions are not being taken to monitor implementation of the action plans to address internal control deficiencies and audit findings raised. And third is that after more than 2 years, the post of the chief audit executive is not yet being filled, remains vacant. And also the fact that the internal audit division is not properly capacitated to ensure that they can address the issues in the environment if you look at the nature and size of the department's operation. On financial management, we focused mainly on the qualification areas from the prior. On the issue of assets, we know that there was a qualification last year where we could not fully verify assets that are recorded in the financial statements and the assets registers. So we noted that then the process of correcting this matter was still in progress at the time of our review. So it's important that that process is then finalized before year end to prevent a recurring qualification. In terms of the leave issue, we also had a qualification on leave entitlement, wherein we noted that the department did not have adequate control to monitor and record leave timely on the system, which then resulted in the overstatement of the leave entitlement. So in this case as well, the action plan to address this matter was still being implemented. So we have not verified the adequacy of the plan to address this particular matter. The third matter talks to the qualification on irregular expenditure. The department has been qualified for the past 3 years on irregular expenditure. And we noted that the CFO sometime last year did task the internal audit division to then assist the department to deal with this qualification by reviewing the procurement transactions within all the procurement centers so that they are able then to identify and record all cases of irregular expenditure. So that process was still ongoing at the time of our review in February, and 6 procurement units had been completed at that particular point in time. The rest of the units were then supposed to be completed by the end of March 2022. We also in the prior had a disagreement with the department on irregular expenditure of 1.53 billion that we identified, which was not disclosed in the financial statements. There are still ongoing discussions with us, between us in particular with the CFO's office, to ensure that this full amount is disclosed in the financial statements for the year under review. On procurement and contract management, we also looked at the action plans that are in place to address the issues that we have been reporting. There were a number of procurement and contract management related findings that we identified in the prior years, and some of them resulted in the material irregularities that we reported in the audit report. We noted that the actions, most of the actions were still in progress at the time of our review, with some having a completion date of the end of February 2022. We also noted some irregular expenditure per the irregular expenditure register provided with the interim financial statements. And lastly, we also still note that The SAM function remains within the logistics environment, and this is contrary to Federal Regulation 16A.4 that requires that this function must be under the direction of the Chief Financial Officer, and no progress has been made at this point to address this non-compliance. Then moving on to compliance management, we note that the balance of the regular expenditure that has not been dealt with amounts to 10.5 billion, and that of the full expenditure amounts to 428 million. We also analyze then the cases of the regular expenditure as well as reducing the full expenditure to see the progress on investigations of these matters, because the PFMA requires that such matters must be investigated and that required action be taken against those responsible. So of the 88 cases on fruitless and wasteful expenditure, we note that 24 of them, which is 27%, there are investigations in progress. On 54 of them, the investigations have not started, and that 10 investigations have been finalized. When it comes to regular expenditure, of the 523 matters, 300 are investigated. The investigations are in progress, and that 207 of them have not started, and that 16 have been finalized. We also then looked at investigations that have been finalized and to see if there was a consequence management happening in that regard. And we noted that there are some key contracts that were pronounced as being irregular in the priors, where investigations have been done and completed, reports were handed over to the leadership of the department. However, we note that consequence management has not been implemented, in that disciplinary actions have not been implemented, and that in some cases the financial losses have also not been recovered. We summarize this, Chair, into the five matters: the asset management contract, the previous one which ended in 2016, that's the first item; the second asset management contract that started in 2017, and also the true life capability management contract that was also entered into in 2015 and came to an end in 2019. The issue of the Eco Park lease properties that were not utilized by the department up until 2019, so there was fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And the last part relates to the repairs and maintenance to one new hospital, of which the investigation was also completed in 2020. So we're highlighting this to just indicate that we are concerned that investigations are finalized. However, there doesn't seem to be progress in terms of implementing consequence management. Then I move over then to the status of records review for AMSCO, again looking at quarter three as at 31 December 2021. The areas that we're highlighting are those where we identified some concerns, being financial management, procurement and contract management, compliance, as well as IT management. So on financial management, our key concern at AMSCO is that the systems that they are using are legacy systems, and as such, they are unable to prevent, to assist them to ensure that they prevent misstatements when they prepare the financial statements. So there is a process to implement an ERP system to assist them in this regard. However, this process has not been completed at this stage, which means that the risk remains that they might have those material misstatements again when they prepare their financials for the year under review. On compliance, on procurement and contract management, the one issue that we're highlighting is that of using some suppliers as sole suppliers or single source suppliers, and that sometimes the entity does not get the interpretation right, and therefore the necessary approvals are not in place to support the single source suppliers, and that has resulted in irregular expenditure in the past. So we have received a commitment from the Chief Executive Officer that they will then look at the structure and ensure that the training does happen in that environment, that officials are aware of the differences and what motivations must be in place to support either a sole supplier or a single source supplier. And then when it comes to compliance management, We also noting some irregular expenditure, and it also linked to the matters that I was talking to on procurement, where they used the senior source. So if they address the issues around procurement management, it will then address the compliance issues as well. And then lastly, on IT management, there were some gaps that we identified in the prior. However, during our review, management was still busy with in terms of addressing those matters. Moving on to the Department of Military Veterans, also the status of records review done for up to quarter three of the year. We highlight areas where we saw that intervention is required immediately to address the challenges. One being oversight and monitoring, performance management, procurement and contract management, and compliance management. On the other aspect, we also noted some concerns that also needs to be addressed to ensure that there's improvement in audit outcomes. On oversight monitoring, the key issues firstly relate to internal audit unit. We note that the internal audit unit is not properly capacitated. Currently, there's only one employee within the unit to service the whole department. There was a process in place to appoint external service provider to support internal audit function, but it has not yet been completed at this stage. We also note that the Director General Audit is currently acting as the Chief Financial Officer, and currently there's no one acting in her place in terms of Director General Audit. So that also results in better strain on the internal audit unit. With the Director General Audit also acting as CFO, that brings about a potential conflict of interest as well, because when she's back in her role as Director General Audit, she may have to review areas that she was responsible for as a preparer, which may then result in the threat to independence in terms of their function. We're also noting that the audit committee comprises three members, but one of the members is being suspended, and therefore the audit committee does not meet quorum and also does not meet the requirements of the PFMA, which stipulates that there should be at least three members in terms of the audit committee. And this also then results in the committee not meeting as required, or even if they meet, they can't pass any resolutions because they do not meet quorum. And we note that the committee then did not meet to review the first and second quarter's financial and performance information before this information was submitted to the National Treasurer and the Minister. And it is a requirement of the regulation that the committee must consider such information to ensure that such information is credible. In terms of the policies and procedures in the department, we note that some policies have not been reviewed for over 5 years, and some policies are in draft format, but they are being viewed as being effective, which may result in inconsistencies in the application of the policies within the department. Lastly, the department does not have processes in place to monitor the action plans that were developed to address the internal control weaknesses identified in the prior. So some of the options that were planned have not yet been implemented and will only be actioned by the end of the financial year. Moving to human resource management, we're highlighting the key vacancies at the department, which are at leadership level. The first one being that of the DDG Corporate Services, that has been vacant since 1 September 2019, and also DDG Socioeconomic Support, vacant since January 2017. We also just note that the department's organizational structure has been under review for a number of years without being finalized. So we recommend that process should come to an end to ensure that there is stability in the department. On the issues of performance management, we note that at the DMV, they were behind in terms of achieving the targets, as at the end of December 2021, they had achieved only 42% of the performance. And for socioeconomic support program, the department planned for quarter one and plan certain of, objectives or targets, but only one of those was achieved. So there are some indicators as well where the department is only now looking at the process to determine the budget implications for full implementation, and that is around pensions and the subsidized public transport, as there was no budget done for these indicators in the year under review being 21-22, and those targets have also not been achieved. In terms of the information that they are reporting, internal audit did look at some of the performance information for quarter one and noted differences between what was reported and the supporting documentation. So that means that the challenge that we also highlighted in our report last year has not been addressed, whereby the department needs to ensure that the supporting information talks to what is reported in the annual performance report. On compliance management, we also reviewed the progress that is made by the department in terms of implementing consequence management, because there was a report done by DPME in the prior year, which was just to start the investigation. The progress at this point in time shows that there hasn't really been implementation of consequence management, in that there were only four warnings issued and the rest of the cases have now been referred to for external investigation. In terms of payments within 30 days, there are still challenges in the department, and this may result in fruitless and wasteful expenditure if there's interest made on late payments. On IT management, the department is still using the military veterans for the database. They are still using Microsoft Access tool to manage it. And this functionality then does not track who made changes to the information, which might result then in challenges in terms of monitoring who has access and who is making changes to the database. However, we do note that there is a process or plan in place that the department has, in that they've entered into an agreement with SETA to assist them in terms of developing an integrated database management system. Chairperson, I will quickly move to the part about material irregularities, which talks to the expansion of our mandate since 2019. Wherein we the amended act came in with the concept of a material irregularity. So in the prior years, we have implemented these amendments to the Department of Defense as well as AMSCO, and in the current year, we'll also then implement this amended act, the amended act to Department of Military Veterans as well. So what we've done, we just looked at the previous material irregularities that we've reported, which are all within the DoD, just to note the progress so far. So the first MI on asset management, in the prior year report, we included remedial actions in the audit report, which was supposed to be implemented by November 2021. So based on our assessment of the progress, we noted that those remedial actions have also not been implemented, and therefore the MI is under review by the Material Irregularity Committee of the AGSA to determine the next course of action. For the lease payments that were made for unoccupied buildings, again, there hasn't been movement in terms of implementing consequence management, and the financial loss has also not been recovered. The MI on the unfair award of the fuel contract was referred to the Detroit Poverty Crime Investigation, known as the HOG, in November 2021. We will follow up on the progress on that investigation. On the matter relating to PPE that was not procured in a cost-effective manner, there was a commitment to convene a board of inquiry to look into this matter and finalize the investigation by September 2021. However, at this point in time, that investigation has also not been finalized. And then lastly, the matter relating to the importation of the unregistered Hebron drugs, what we've noted is that, as reported to this committee as well, the department has since returned the Hebron drugs to Cuba, as instructed instructed by SAPRA. So we are currently looking at all the information that has been provided by the department to us in terms of the returned drugs. We must also assess whether there is recovery of the money that was paid already and whether there is consequence management against the officials that were involved in that MI. So at this point, the MI has not been resolved because we must assess progress that is made in that regard. Chairperson, we ask for the audit committee to the portfolio committee to also then track the progress on material irregularities to ensure that the actions are being implemented to deal with it, and also to ensure that it does not reoccur. In particular, it's important to ensure that there is consequence management and recovery of the losses. Okay, I'll just move quickly through the slide. This is our call of improvement in accountability to ensure that there's improvement in the lived experiences of our citizens. So this was the theme of our general report for 2021 that was tabled by the AG in December, wherein we noted that although there was some incremental improvement in terms of the national audit outcomes and provincial audit outcomes, however, there were still lower levels of accountability among accounting officers and accounting authorities to ensure that they create a culture of consequence management. And therefore, we ask for all of those that are involved in this chain to ensure that we emphasize on the importance of implementing action plans to deal with the findings, and also to ensure that the consequence management, because once we've built that strong control environment, then we can be able, or the departments can be able to then deal with the negative experiences of the citizens of this country. Chairperson, in terms of the key recommendations that are coming out from this presentation, so we are saying that what still needs to be addressed in this portfolio is mainly the issue around material irregularities. Actions must be taken to address these matters. And also in terms of the status of records review, all the focus areas that we've highlighted, management must then implement the preventative controls as we have advised with the status of records review. Then the accounting officers must then ensure that there's full implementation of preventative controls and that action plans are fully implemented, and we note then the monitoring by the portfolio committee in that regard in relation to the action plans as well as implementation of consequence management. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Bali. You were within time. You saved 1 minute. Thank you very much for that 1 minute. All right, colleagues, the matters are on the table. As I said, we're not discussing the presentation today. You'll see two presentations were made. One is on Operation Tuzano that we can discuss today because the department was given due notice that the matter will come up for presentation at this meeting. And it's not a new matter. The AG is just reporting on their findings on Operation Tuzano as we requested them. They've declared the expenditure incurred under Operation Tuzano irregular, and they've given us reasons why it was deemed the expenditure was deemed irregular. So today they were just elaborating on their findings. And the second report was on the status of records review, and it touches on three departments, It refers to three entities. It's the Department of Defense. We're lucky that the Department of Defense is present and they are here today, so that is present today. But I urge them not to be tempted to respond to it. We will schedule time when they come and do a presentation on the presentation by the AG. It touches on AMSCO. AMSCO is not in the meeting. We'll also afford AMSCO the opportunity to come and talk to us on these findings. And it also refers to DMV. We'll do the same with DMV. It is my wish that this report will be referred to the three entities. I therefore entrust the sector to dispatch this, at least this report to DOD and the entity that reports to the DOD. And the ministry, the DM is in the meeting. I don't know who the DM will charge with the responsibility of conveying this message to the Department of Military Veterans, that would expect them to comment on the findings under the status of a records review. Colleagues, I will just simply allow just questions of clarity. There shouldn't be too many, because it is, in my view, this information we've discussed it before. And let me just look at the records. Let's start with the status of records review so that we put it aside, so that we don't mix issues. Are there any questions of clarity on the status of records review so that we put it aside and then focus on Operation Tucson? Let me just see if there are any hands on the screen. Mr. Marais, you are first.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Thank you to the Auditor General. Obviously, on the last, you've only asked, you know, clarity questions on the last presentation, which we will then discuss in a later date. I just wanted to ask two or three questions. Two questions with regards to this, but I've got another one on the Tucano presentation that I want to ask. I don't know if I...
Please hold on your questions on until later, yes.
Okay. Thanks. Just on the second one, there are various references to information or action still outstanding. Has the Auditor General's office received any explanation, proper explanation, as to why there was no actions taken or consequence management, done? Because it only refers to that being still outstanding. And then there's a couple of references to, and I quote, next course of action. So there is still to be a next course of action. What are these next courses of action that they are considered? Is it NPA? Is it another way? I mean, I don't know that because it's not been clear from that. So I would very much appreciate that that reference. And also then just a question. They have referred some cases of military of material irregularities to the prosecuting authorities, but in a number of cases they have not made that kind of recommendation or disciplinary actions as a recommendation. Do they just refrain from that and leave it up to the department and the accounting officer, or are they prepared and willing in terms of their findings to make such recommendations? For us, it will certainly help us as a committee, you know, to hold people accountable and to follow that up. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mbali. This was the only hand on this matter. If you may just quickly deal with those questions of clarity.
Thank you, Honourable Members. On the first question around the fact that consequence management is outstanding, I think that question can be better answered by the department chair, because what we do is assess to say, has consequence management happened? But management will answer it better to say, why is consequence management happening? Where investigations have been finalized and they've clearly indicated who was responsible for the non-compliance. So I'm unable, Chair, to respond on that question. We brought it to their attention that we note that investigation was done, but nothing is happening in terms of consequence management. In terms of the material irregularities, yes, we've mentioned that on most of them we are looking at the next course of action. The reason why we do not specify is because we have an MI committee, a material irregularity committee that must make a decision. So there are various courses of action that we can take, and Chair, if I can just explain. In some cases, we can decide that if we look at all the circumstances around that particular material irregularity, that we must include recommendations in the audit report to ask the accounting officer to implement certain actions. In some cases, where we have already then maybe made those recommendations and nothing has happened in terms of implementing them, the next course of action may be then to go for a binding remedial action, as we've done with the first material irregularity. Or we can also consider to say, if there are certain factors that require a full investigation by a certain public body, as we've done with the fuel one, we can decide then to refer it to that particular body, depending again on the circumstances and the complexities of that particular matter. So all those, and where we are saying we're looking at the next course of action, the MI committee must decide what needs to be done. We will, as the audit team, make a recommendation, but they will make the final decision on what is the right course of action for that particular MI, looking at its own circumstances. And yes, we have referred to only one matter so far in this department, which is the one, the fuel contract. And on the other ones, we decided for a different course of action, looking at the circumstances of each MI. So the decision to refer is done after we've assessed certain factors. For instance, we will decide to refer if the information that we have at our disposal shows that there could be some criminal element involved, or it shows that there was involvement, or we suspect that there was involvement perhaps of certain officials within the department on that particular MI. We will therefore not recommend that it must be investigated internally, and therefore we can decide, looking at all those factors, that it must be referred to an outside public body. Thank you, Chair.
Right. Thank you so much,
Chair. If I may follow up just on that response, if you allow me, I just want to ask the Auditor General. I mean, you are very strict with the departments in terms of that they have not responded yet, and it is still ongoing. Can I ask you, is the Auditor General prepared to commit themselves as to when they will then take these decisions? Because these are also reported on a yearly basis, but we don't necessarily know when they are going to sit and when they are going to consider. So I would request, and I would assume that the same kind of level of actions and discipline applies to the Auditor General in these cases as well. Again, that will assist us, because if you are also taking your time, like the department is taking their time, then you know both are guilty. So I don't want to put you on the spot unnecessarily, but we need a commitment from the Auditor General at least on these cases. Thank you.
Bernie?
Thank you, Chair. I can't give the definite timeline on when these matters will be finalized, but what I can commit to is that when we present the audit report, we will have the way forward. The next course of action will be known, and it will be in the audit report. It would have been coming communicated also to the department today on this particular one. This is the decision of the MI committee. I hope that suffices, Chair. Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Now, thanks, colleagues. I think we have concluded our comments on the second report. We can then move to the first report. Colleagues, you can then discuss the first one on Operation Tusano. We'll then decide on how we then we move forward on it. Are there any questions?
Chairperson, just from my side, if I may, I have picked up on the presentation that was forwarded to us this morning of the Department of Defense on Project Tusano. There are quite a number of differences between their reflection of fact and the report and what was reported by the Auditor General. So, I mean, I've got my questions to the order based on the Auditor General's report, but I've got probably some other questions based on the differences clearly between the department on the one side reporting on the same facts and that of that done by the Auditor General. So do you want us to interrogate or work with what the Auditor General has reported, or must we wait until that presentation has been done by the department?
Colleagues, let's deal with the presentation by the AG. Just so that we are all on the same page. At least you now have the benefit of what the department is saying. Just pose questions. We'll see how far we go with that, and then we'll come on to the presentation by the department on this. I also received the presentation this morning. Brian said he received it last night. It's not a good reflection on the department. Not at all. They know that the report must be with us at least a week before the meeting, and it has not happened. And it's the second time. Last week they did the same thing on fraud and corruption cases. Report, and we sent them back and said we'll invite them again to come and present, because we don't want to be ambushed. Now, we've been ambushed again today. The only presentation we have that we received as per arrangement is the AG's one. I don't know how many members have gone through the report and whether we can deal with it this morning. My view, I would suggest, is that we refer it back to the department and ask the minister to come and present the report herself at the next meeting. So I don't know what your take is on that, but I'm open to your suggestions, colleagues.
Chairperson, if I may, yes, I agree with you. I mean, the department and the accounting officer, they are really, I mean, they don't show discipline that we expect from the Defence Force. They know that we need these reports a week before. To send it in the evening or the day before the meeting is just totally, totally unacceptable. And if that is the kind of discipline that they show to us, basically the accounting officer and the staff, then it's no wonder we get an audit report from the Auditor General, as we have seen this morning, both of them. So it seems like the Department of Defense and the SNDF just doesn't agree. They don't agree that they are accountable to the state, to the Auditor General, to us as Parliament. You know, it is just totally unacceptable. And somehow that reflects on us as a committee in terms of, so what? What are we going to do? The Auditor General is referring to our role as looking at consequence management and making sure that they comply with the requirements. And clearly, you know, we have to take decisions on not allowing the accounting officer, the department, and the SANDF to constantly coming back with flimsy work. I can tell you, you know, if you look at what the PFMA says, and I'm going to read that to you, an accounting officer may not commit a department to any liability for which money has not been appropriated as per section 38(2) of the PFMA. We constantly see this, and there are no consequences. So this is totally, totally unacceptable. But be that as it may, and I agree with you, you know, at the moment, I quickly glanced through that through that presentation. And as I sit now, and based on what Auditor General has reported to us on Busano, I want to reject that with the contempt that it deserves and send them back with their tails between their legs and say, come back and do better work. It is totally unacceptable because there must be consequences for flimsy work in presentations like this. They've got no respect for us, and that's unacceptable. Coming back to the Auditor General's presentation, obviously we must compliment them for the work that they've done, and it's much appreciated. I just wanted to know from the Auditor General, they refer to the two main contracts, to SANU contracts, and then only refers to various subcontracts. Now, if I recall correctly in terms of what was presented to us, there are 10 supplementary contracts. And we know that in terms, at least my interpretation is of what the main contract's purposes are, that at least the medicine imported under those contracts are, or the drugs, are totally, you know, against those two main contracts. Now, has the Auditor General investigated or audited the 10 subcontracts? Because there may be even more problems in those 10 subcontracts that is even deviating it further. And that will probably, you know, have material findings and obviously what the committee will have to decide on going forward. I want to say to the Auditor General, you've reported 1.3 billion rand that was already spent. The department, incidentally, only reports on 1 billion. So somewhere 370 million rand is gone. That is my main concern about that. And then all the material irregularities on that. So, I can't fault the department, but those 10 subcontracts are my biggest concerns in terms of what they are. Because let's be honest, they've mentioned to us the 10 subcontracts, but they've never reported on those 10 subcontracts. So I just want to find the Auditor General's response to that one. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other checker on this one? Let's also note that the AG says they have called for information that they have not responded. Sorry, that they have not received from the department, and they've since reissued the request. In the current year, that is in the prior year, and they've since reissued the request in the current year, and that further engagements were held with the responsible units. However, to date, they still have not received some of the information they requested. Now, so I don't know My question to the AG, have you written to the minister about this, that last year your department was qualified because there is information we requested that you still have not received it. And so what is your relationship with the minister when it comes to this frustration? Because I have a proposal to make. My proposal to make is that you write to the minister and request the information that you have requested, and then copy that letter to the portfolio committee. And so in a way, we are now making this request to the minister, which makes the minister now accountable, directly accountable. And the committee will then expect the minister to talk to us when they come to present on this matter again. But let me just check if you have really, you've tried to, or you ever escalated this frustration to that level of leadership.
Chairperson, if I may, just another point that I have just thought of myself, my apologies for that. On that reference that I've made about the PFMA, can the Auditor General consider, or have they considered recommending or making a finding that the contracts under Operation Tucano should be cancelled? And obviously, because what the department has indicated to us, that the current contracts is probably going up until 2024, it means that the next billion rand that will be spent will also be irregular and material irregularity and wasteful expenditure. So I just want to their view on that, whether that has been done or considered.
But the AG has never asked any department to cancel any contract. They only just make their finding on the contract itself.
Yeah, but I'm just asking whether, you know, seeing that it is already a material irregularity and it will proceed.
And they leave it to the department to act. And for as long as they don't act, they qualify them until they act. But how they act, it's
yeah. It's the but whether that's a recommendation from them, thank you. I'll look.
All right. So, colleagues, is there any issue you want to raise on this one? After we are done with raising issues, the DM will then make a comment and we close the discussion on the two on the items. Thabo, I see your hand. Honourable Mutle.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to find clarity around the point that Chair, you raised on your proposal. Maybe the AG can clarify me in particular, because I'm a bit worried whether we'll be acting in line with the prescripts of the law that governs auditing and them executing their responsibility. I'm not sure. With the minister, there might be a dispensation, but with the portfolio committee, I am not sure. But if it's permissible, I will just be clarified and align myself to that proposal. If we can get that clarity.
Okay, I'm not too sure if I got the. Did you get the question, Mbali?
Thanks, Chair. Not completely, Chair. I think it's about the recommendation that you are making to us that you should write to the minister.
Thabo, can you come back on that one so that?
Yeah, that's exactly the proposal you made. you equally said when they do that, they must CC the portfolio committee. Then I just want them to, so that we distinguish whether we will not be found wanting to say we are, as a portfolio committee, how do we get involved in that process?
I see. Okay, I think it's clear now. Right. So in responding to my proposal, please comment on what Honorable Thabo is seeking clarity on as well. Okay, you may deal with all of them now. I don't see any other hand on this. After that, the DM will come and to make his comments.
Thank you, Chair. Maybe starting with the first question on whether we have audited all the 10 supplementary agreements, I must say that we have not audited them in detail. And the work that we are doing now on the value for money will assist us to get into auditing them in more detail. So that work has not really been done in the past. We have audited the expenditure linked to the two main contracts, the one on the provision of professional services and the one on the technical services as well, but not in that much detail to go into each of those 10 supplementary agreements. So with the work that we are doing now, we will do a bit more, especially when it comes to the technical services, because those are the focus areas that we are looking into on this value for money audit. In terms of the spending, the 1.3 billion that we are reporting is at the end of December 2021. There's indications that the department is reporting on 1 billion. It could be that they are still quoting the 1 billion that was incurred at the end of the financial year, March 2021. I'm not sure. Maybe that's where the difference is coming from, because at the end of March 2021, the department was just over a billion rand in terms of expenditure on Project Susan, but it has since then increased to 1.3 billion at the end of December. Then, Chair, in terms of the information that was not provided to us last year in 2020-21, yes, we did write to the minister in May 2021 to escalate the matter, because the information was not forthcoming and we're not able to do the work. But we still could not get the information, and that is why we concluded on a limitation of scope as of last year. But in the current year, because there were discussions between us and the department to further clarify, we then felt that the matter will be now addressed, the information will be provided. But we are still struggling to get all the information. And yes, we will consider then to write again to the minister, highlighting now the outstanding information and ask for her intervention in terms of assisting us with the information. And yes, Chair, I don't think there will be anything wrong with copying the portfolio committee on our request, because the committee is playing oversight over the department. We have done it in the past where we're struggling to get information on Hebron Drive, but when we wrote to the minister, we also copied the chairperson of the portfolio committee, because the committee was also aware that we were struggling to get that particular information. So I don't think that the committee is overstepping their mandate, or we will be overstepping our mandate if we copy the committee on this intervention that we are seeking from the minister. Then the last question on the cancellation of the contract. Chair, as you rightly indicated, we cannot make a recommendation like that to say the contract must be cancelled. Our recommendations will be in line with the findings that we identify on what must be done to deal with, if it's non-compliance, what must be done to deal with that particular non-compliance, and also to emphasize that consistent management must then happen if there were irregularities that we identify when we review the contract. But we will not then ask the department to cancel the contract. I must say that, Chair, on one of them, the contracts, because there are two main contracts, There was an indication that that contract will run for 7 years, in particular the one on professional services, which is the training. So which means that that contract might have ended now in 2021, but we look into it as we are continuing with the audit on the value for money. I'm not sure about the other one on the technical aspect to say, was it also limited to 7 years, but on this particular one, I do note that there was an indication that the contract would be valid for only 7 years. So we'll look into it and we can report on it when we come back. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Thabo, are you happy with the response?
No, I'm fine, Chair.
Okay. All right. So you wrote to the Minister in May 2021. Did the Minister acknowledge your correspondence? Did you receive any acknowledgement?
No, Chair, we didn't receive any acknowledgement or response on the letter.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow, that's bad.
Okay. All right. DM, I think, colleagues, is there any other issue on this? DM?
Chairperson, just before the DM responds, obviously we know that that was now done to the previous minister, but it's still the office of the minister. It's not a person, but it's a position. I don't know if the DM will respond to that, because I mean that is part of the problem, it seems like. And obviously the current minister, we must give her the opportunity to respond to allegations like that. Thank you.
Yeah, no, we just wanted just information. We don't want to read many things into it for now. Was it the previous minister or the current one? I can't remember when the current one came into office.
May was still the previous minister.
Oh, I see. Okay. No, it's fine. So I think it's also proper to bring it up with the current minister and refer to the letter that was not responded to. And then copy the letter to us so that we follow up with this one as part of our responsibility to enhance transparency and improve accountability. All right. So we will therefore close the discussion on the note that the department has received both presentations and we expect them to come back fully prepared to deal with all the issues as presented today. Mr. Mare says he noted differences of opinion on the same facts, and I've noted that too. And so I hope when the department comes back to us, all of that would have been clarified, the report presented improved, and because the minister now will be presenting the report to the portfolio committee. So in the minutes, we'll be saying it's a briefing by the minister, not by the department this time. And in other words, the minister will lead the presentation. She would decide who she asked to present, but she would lead the presentation and she would be at the center of answering the questions. And DM, you've listened to the deliberations and I'm sure you are in a position to close just to give us your winding up comments.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity once again, and to honorable members. I'm not sure if the minister is now in the meeting, Chair. If we can check, maybe the minister would be the right person to take the floor at this point. I know that at the beginning of the meeting, we were at the cabinet all committees meeting, which adjourned exactly when this meeting was commencing at 10. It was supposed to finish its business in our calculation area, but the minister may be in the meeting now.
Let me just check if the minister is in the meeting. Minister, are you in the meeting? I don't see.
Okay. If the minister is not in the meeting, Chair, with your permission, may I just say the following then, which is that the reports of the Auditor General's office most welcome interventions to assist the oversight work that we are doing over these two departments and AMSCO. In November last year, if not early December, now I would not be accurate in my recollection, but the ministry had a meeting with the Auditor General's office. The Auditor General herself went over to their office and had a very intense engagement with the Auditor General. And I'm saying intense because the minister spent time on a one-on-one with the Auditor General. And my assumption was that in that meeting, long meeting they had, a whole host of issues we are discussing here may have been canvassed. And that's why I thought it would be useful to get the minister's comments on these reports, on matters raised in these reports. Let me just say from where I sit, the status of records review report that has just been shared there will be dealt with by the Council on Defence, because will be dealt with by the Council of Defence, and as you said, Chair, the minister will then have to come back to the Oversight Committee to speak to these issues. There are matters that are very important that measures and action plans are put in place, as the Auditor General is saying, in order to mitigate risks in advance. If we don't do take those decisions now, then we are headed to another problematic year end as far as our audits are concerned. I have noted that, the report carries in it observations that require very clear policy guidance from the Ministry of Defense and Military Veterans. For instance, if I may just give an example, the issue about the supply chain function, that it still remains located within the logistics environment, contrary to the requirement of the Treasury regulations. I think it's a matter which at the level of the COD can be, addressed, and we find, corrective action with respect to that. And of course, it's raised as something which it's not a new observation. It has been raised before. There's been no action taken. And that's why I am saying that the COD will deal with this report, and the minister will then come back to the Oversight Committee with the an indication of the intervention we have made. There is also another similar example, for instance, which I think the DOD will assist in its, for instance, in relation to the balance of irregular expenditure that has not been dealt with. And also the wasteful and fruitless expenditure. When you look at the statistics of the amount of work investigations wise done in relation to wasteful and fruitless expenditure and irregular expenditure, it's a problem. Only 10% for fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which if we've only finalized 10% out of a total of 88 cases, it's a big problem. Irregular expenditure, as you can see, the statistics says there we have only done 16% out of 523 cases. We have only finalized 16 of those cases. It's a problem. So, but it's only at the level of the COD where we can advise management on the, how we can bring about a change of environment as far as that is concerned. And also the third point which I've observed is in relation to compliance management. We will look into that. There are issues that were finalized, but no disciplinary action taken by the department. Examples are given there of those cases of contracts that were irregularly, you know, handled and corrective action has not been taken. Similarly, Chair, in relation to the DMV, there are issues there, and especially around the oversight and monitoring of the department. The internal audit is not fully capacitated. The head of that internal audit, director internal audit, is presently acting as the CFO. Later on, she's going to go back to her responsibility. It would constitute a conflict of interest. All of those issues, they are noted, and we will come back. The minister will come back as it shall be, you know, decided and scheduled by the committee to give a report on the resolution of these matters. I back to rest my comments right there, Chair. With respect to Ops Tusano, if there's any need for me to comment, I will do that after the report of the department has been entertained. Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you very much. DM, I understood the meeting to be referring the report back to for further processing in view of what we have received from the Office of the Auditor General now. So it means that it is one of the reports that must be processed by the COD and then you know, after that, we expect the minister to come and then present to us. With that suggestion, what do you think?
Okay, sure. Thank you.
I thought that was...
No, sure. I missed that. If that is the proposal, Chair, I would oblige. I'd go with the proposal of the committee members. Thank you.
Okay. All right, so colleagues, I think I did not misrepresent you that we could not deal with the report one because it is late. It only came in this morning. We only received this morning. Our secretary received it late last night, exception to that. It's not a good reflection on the part of the department that this happens again. I don't know how strong must we express our, unhappiness with this. We don't want the reasons to be given, the reasons why it's late and all that, because it hampers our performance, our site, responsibility. So we're then asking that it be returned back, and we now have the benefit of the input by the Auditor General that in some cases sits in contrast with what is in the report of the department. So when you come back, we hope that all of that, those areas would have been cleaned up, so that we are all on the same page as to how we move forward. You've made good observations, DM, on matters really that unless they are attended to, they will constitute a repeat finding. So not to escalate these matters to the level of the minister now would be, would cause us to move in cycles, all around. So Mr. Murray, I can see your hand. I just wanted us to move on this. Maybe you have a different view. Let me take you.
Okay, no, I just wanted to support you in that regard, in terms of sending them back, because as we've said, this is now so repetitive, and this year and the end of last year, since then it is absolutely repetitive, and it seems, I think that is the strongest way of responding that. I just want to find out from you, as we go through the current presentation, if we find things that they also should respond to or qualify in terms of what they present in that presentation, can we forward that to the secretary for them to also then respond at the next time on those matters, because there's quite a number of questionable things that they've said, and how I have experienced the department is that every time that we ask questions, they do not have the answers, and they say that they will have to come back, as we've experienced last week in Pretoria as well. So can we do that so that they can properly respond on those matters as well? Thank you very much.
Unless, I don't know, it's going to be a new thing, because we are saying we have not received the presentation. The questions will be preempting the presentation. Mr. Murray, I don't want us to
expect. I hear what you say, and I understand what you say. It is just that they have sent it to us, and unfortunately, as I've experienced them, when you ask those questions on what they present, they do not have the answers. So I know that they will have to come back, and I fully support that. It is just on what they have actually given us that one has got questions on, and maybe it will help them to properly prepare for the next meeting. That's my only, motivation for that. Thank you.
All right. I can grant you to send questions and base them on the findings of the AG, because the report we are not dealing with, it, we are sending it back. Is it possible to tailor them based on the on the presentations by the AG?
Yeah, probably, sir. Probably, because it deals with the same matter.
Exactly. These are the matter, Mr. Murray. Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Maybe we'll find each other on that one.
Thank you very much.
All right. Colleagues, okay, so we will end it on that note today. So we will schedule the meeting. Two items now have had to be referred back to the department. One is on fraud and corruption. The report, it was received, was it the day before or in the morning? Either way, it's not too sort of unacceptable. And this one as well. And so we would appreciate that when we schedule these items, the department would have, the minister would have been taken through these issues. And because we can't be, it must come to the stop at some point. All right. So colleagues, I think there's agreement on that one. We can then move to the DM and the team. I think we can discharge you and the colleagues from the AG's office. I'm not too sure if I have, but what is next on the agenda, Brian? The minutes, eh?
That's correct, sir.
All right, okay. Well, let me just thank the DM. DM, thank you very much. We will officially write back and refer these two presentations to you and sorry, to the ministry, to the minister in particular, and also bring it to our attention that the AG had in the past written to the ministry on this issue, and they had not received any replies, and that they are going to write to her again. I hope by then would have received the letter from the AG, and then ask her to prioritize these issues. Because we are placing them on the agenda, we want to put them to put these issues behind us, as it were. So we thank you, AG's office, for your presentation today, Bali and the team and Gianni. So SACDEF, I think we thank you with the team. We were in the meeting and you had that we were not too impressed on the presentation by the committee that we received it this morning. So with that, we thank all of you, and then we can then move to the next item.
Chair, thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Good
day to honourable members.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Executive. All right, can we quickly deal with the minutes? Right. So these are the minutes of the, how many sets, Brian? One set.
We have two sets, sir.
Two sets. All right, colleagues, this is the, we're dealing with the second and the quarterly reports and the update on the Beachmore Isle. We wanted the progress on the issues of fraud and corruption, fraud and corruption and consequence management. That one, as I said, was sent back. We also received a presentation of the audit action plans and preventative controls. And lastly, we dealt with the minutes. So this was the agenda, colleagues. Okay, just finished the page, Brian. Okay, attendance is done. Let's go to the second page. Any corrections, colleagues? Let's move to the third page. Right, any corrections? Next page, Brian. any corrections? The last page, any corrections? All right. Colleagues, I now want to establish if the minutes, the true reflection of what was discussed previously. If so, can I get a mover and a seconder?
I move, Chair.
Thabo Motle moves. Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Any seconder?
I second.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Mare, for seconding the minutes. So the minutes are duly adopted. Can we move to the second set? It's meeting of the 23rd of February, briefing by the DMV on their internal audit, on the audit action plans and the preventative controls and the issues of fraud, of consequence management and irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We also received a report from AG South Africa, and also dealt with cases of fraud and corruption and consequence management, or it was separated from the first item, but they presented it as one. So colleagues, this was the attendance. We also considered the minutes attendance. Finish the page. We go to the second page. Just check if there are any corrections. Move to the next page. Complete, Brian. Thank you very much. Next page. Next page. All right. And then that's the last page. So, colleagues, I'm now establishing if these minutes are the true reflection. Do I have a mover and a seconder?
Mafanya seconds.
Mafanya moves. Mafanya moves. Any seconder?
I'm seconding, Chair.
Thabo, Honourable Motle, seconds. Colleagues, Brian, do we send these minutes to the department and so that they also keep track with the resolutions of the committee? What is the parliamentary protocol in relation to the minutes?
The department, when we send minutes, they are also copied. Yes, that's correct, Chair. But also, Chair, the matters are extracted when we are working on our program for the term. Hence, we then pick up those issues for the following term.
So, okay. No, they do get the minutes, right?
That's correct, Chair.
Is it possible to, has the minister asked all the minutes? It's new in the portfolio. We started in 2019, and I think we expected her to, come on board with speed. They've not requested the minutes. She has not requested the minutes. So that just for her to page through and see the issues, so that she understands when we say, on this one, we are not happy because we appear to be moving in circles.
In fact, Chair, when Minister came on board, her acting PLO, The minutes were part of the documents that they had requested.
Okay. Can you make it what you call a part of our own what you call arrangement with that every quarter we will generate a certain send it and of that quarter and send them to her.
Will do, sir.
Will do. Okay. All right, colleagues. Was that the last item, I guess?
That's correct, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You giving us good minutes. We appreciate your service, and we thank the team that works in the support for the spelling job that they provide to the committee. Colleagues, is there anything before I adjourn the meeting? Doesn't look like there's anything. Okay. Colleagues, thank you very much. It's now 8 minutes to 12. Until we meet again, the meeting stands adjourned.
Okay, thank you, Chair. My apologies as I joined you late. Oh, network.
Thank you so much, Susie. We understand. Okay.
Pepra. Aye, again, we did. Hey, Namsan, good thing. It's been a very nice gym, bro. Hey, we won't land. Pumu, please come as a cobra. Get a motel, no Pumu hand. I'm born with the Missy gym these days. Awa. Megan is the hypocrite. I remember I once suggested this, like the first time Megan is at 100, being taught for SP anymore. I tell you, Dr. Nanzi, I'm not for saying that it's not a criminal offense, of which you are right, it's not. But, you know, if I have one, I ain't any double in your. Yeah. Yeah. No, straight up. Yeah. Yeah. A It's just below half. It's half empty. No, I mean, actually, I have tank, bro. You forget to put in the doorway 1.4, look. I'll go with you in chief fuel. Yeah, I wanna learn in Chile and then it. Some question would you pay as well if what fee can you talk? Because I'm almost biased. I looked the Thomas Stairs. If you go ele 100 and what 95 in a talk and VW and a talk and any pants, you know, so I was like interesting, kind of will a power way for 4 vehicle.